right, welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's October the 31st, 2007. Boo! I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana will join us. Dave Dickey will be along with all the ag news for the day. And Drew Lerner will tell us how the little munchkins will fare during candy season tonight.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $8.08, down 6. March futures 8.29.5, 6 lower. And July contract at $6.72.5, down 3 for the afternoon. December corn futures 5.25 cents the gain. They were up 5.25 at 3.75.5. March contract at 3.92.75. Up 5.25, and the May futures at 4.01.25, up 4.5 cents. December contract 4.21.25, up 2.75. November soybeans $10.10, 18 higher. January at 10.25.75, up 16.5, and the March contract at 10.40.5, up 17.25. November beans next year $9.76.25, up 13.25. December bean meal at $2.79.60, up $4.90. December bean oil at $42.31, up 63 on the afternoon. CME Group livestock October contract $94.80, 42.5 cents higher. December futures at 94.92.5, down 80 cents for the day. November feeders at 108.45, $1.50 lower. January futures $1.45 lower at 108.40. Lean hog futures December contract at 53.87.5, down 2.5 cents on the afternoon. And the pork belly finished at $84.05. They were a dollar higher for the day. Taking a look at the numbers from the outside markets now, December crude oil futures at 94.23, at 3.85 higher. January futures at 92.93, up 3.35 for the afternoon. Dollar now at 76.602 is down 0.162, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,881 is down just about 90 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and the outside markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Happy Halloween to you, Paul.
Trick or treat, according to the day. It's a beautiful day in central Illinois, Todd.
It is a beautiful day in central Illinois. Lots of things going on. Maybe we ought to start, and I don't think that you'll have much to say about this, but we will have a new Secretary of Agriculture eventually, and Bush has a nominee now, the president does, Edward Schaefer, who's the former two-term Republican governor out of North Dakota. He, of course, will take Mike Johann's place if he is approved by the Senate, and former secretary, will be running for a Republican Chuck Hagel slot in the Senate out of Nebraska. He's doing that already. So that's one thing that's been happening in the world of agriculture, but there's a whole load of other things that are happening in the outside markets and in Chicago at the Board of Trade. Why don't you start with the outside markets and maybe talk about those new crude oil prices, $94.74 a barrel.
You know, I want to share this with our friends, too. This was one of the days that we had, the phone lines were extremely busy. People wanted to know more about background, this and that, and the correlation, and why crude oil and why corn was up because of crude oil and things like that. The Wall Street Journal basically had three main topics. Number one was the interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve, which came in at 0.25 point. They also talked about the energy markets with the potential of crude oil going to $100 a barrel, and some people, even in the background information, said it might even go higher than that. And at the same time, the other factor is we realize that we're going to have a crop production report, and we even talked about that, but you know, the big million-dollar question is when is the commodity futures markets going to decouple from oil? And, of course, that's the million-dollar question. When we go to another idea is that we do have, on Thursday morning, we will see F.C. Stone come out, no, Thursday evening, with F.C. Stone coming out with their guest estimates of corn and soybean production. You know, the rumor around the floor that maybe the later corn isn't coming in at 200 bushels to the acre in Iowa, maybe the test weight's down a little bit. And my only quick phone call to Iowa indicated that maybe the later corn was down just a little bit, but it's not, it's the government had it pretty close to right at 180 bushels to the acre, and the feeling is the later beans with the later rains turned out a little better. So the million-dollar question here is when is the markets going to decouple and how high we're going to go? And, you know, the background news is yes, we think the government does have the demand from exports a little too high in corn, industrial usage a little bit too high, and, of course, feed demand a little too high. But the million-dollar question now is what's the government going to say on the reports?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. I wonder what your thought about next year and then the following year is in terms of demand for our corn crop. Will next year settle into a more even supply-demand situation and possibly the year following that put us back into a situation where we are at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think, just looking at the world in general, I think that we've planted a world of wheat in the world, and I think we'll have, this 2 billion plus bushel carryover in corn, we'll have a pretty adequate inventory of corn. And the big question is, will South America have an acreage explosion and a big production estimate in beans? And I did notice one headline that said that Australia could have a record corn crop of 23 to 24 million metric tons of corn. And I think that corn crop basically hits the marketplace sometime in that May time frame. You know, the big question here is I think we'll have enough, acres, enough production. The million-dollar question that I have is what kind of an energy package, what kind of mandates are we going to see from Congress on more blending of ethanol, policy like that that's going to be important, Todd. What kind of a farm bill, that type of thing. You know, my impression is that, yes, it's not as profitable to raise corn like it was a year ago at this time, but it's still more so than beans. And my feeling is that we aren't really going to see an 8 million acre reduction. You know, it's going to be smaller than that as far as corn's concerned, because with this economic environment we're in and the profitability, people are still going to go out and play the game that made them the most money this year, and that was corn.
And I suppose on the policy front, if that happens, it's quite likely that Congress will be less intent on increasing the RFS. They'll be less intent on putting money into the farm bill for direct payments and to
first,
farmers.
The big caveat with that is the economy doesn't like $95 or $90 crude oil, because that's one reason why we got this housing problem is people will burn gasoline instead of making their home payments and house payments. And one of the things we can't have is unemployment. And the other thing that government, you know, the policy people know is we can't have a recession, because that destroys government. They need all the money they can get to spend for their government. And the policymakers, I think, are going to err on inflation and keeping a recession down to the utmost, because government needs money, and that's number one policy in the country, and that we just can't afford a recession, a big one, that's in my opinion.
So what you're telling me is that...
And we do need an energy package, and one thing we need to do is, more ethanol and more corn and more coal for gasification and things like that, and cheaper electricity to keep this economy going. And unfortunately, we just don't see Congress pushing enough, making enough legislative moves at this time to take care of this high energy. And I think that's the big culprit why the economy is hurting the way it is high energy.
Let's close out with old crop and new crop, both corn and soybeans. Are you a
willing
seller?
Well, the trend is up, but you do have to maximize profitability. And, you know, if some place above $4 and some place above $10 is a good starting point to get off of the long side of corn and soybeans, in my opinion.
On both old and crop?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and then how much on the new crop would you be
willing to sell? Well, you know, that's the magic question, but, you know, it's wonderful to talk about $10 new beans and also $4 plus new crop corn as major starting points in both of those commodities as well.
Okay, anything else to add before we let you go?
Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. AM 580's own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in northern Illinois, skies will be mostly clear. In northern Indiana and in central Illinois, mostly cloudy, a few widely scattered sprinkles early and then clearing. In central Indiana and the south, partly to mostly cloudy, a few widely scattered sprinkles overnight. Lows will range from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 44 in the far south. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from around 50 in the far northern parts of Indiana to 63 in southern Illinois. Tomorrow, wind speeds 8 to 20 miles an hour. Generally, the forecast for the extension over the weekend looks like this. Open weather right on through Monday. A cold front expected to move from the northwest to the southeast through the two-state area next Monday afternoon and evening. And that front will likely trigger some scattered showers and be followed by much colder weather arriving on Monday evening. And that'll continue right on through Tuesday. Up and down temperatures and some showers with transitions should follow heading into the second week of November. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, it's looking more and more likely that new energy legislation passed in the House and Senate will not reach the president's desk in this Congress. Yesterday, New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici said House and Senate energy bills are so incompatible that the GOP won't support merging the two measures into a separate package. Domenici says the House version has several deal breakers, including a provision that would increase the renewable fuel standard to 36 billion gallons by 2022. Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison has placed a hold on energy legislation, preventing the Senate from proceeding to a conference committee. ARCAF USA and other organizations have filed a lawsuit to block a USDA rule that would allow the import of Canadian cattle older than 30 months into the U.S. beginning on November 19th. The lawsuit, filed in South Dakota federal court, argues that the change would expose Americans and cattle to increased risk of mad cow disease. ARCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard.
Now, with the food scares regarding imported products that have increased significantly recently, now is certainly not the time to propose and implement a rule that will have a virtual certainty of importing infected animals and potentially infected meat into the United States. The USDA is not doing its job, and we're stepping up to the plate to protect our industry.
The lawsuit goes on to say USDA should be prevented from relaxing rules on cattle imports because the new rule is arbitrary and capricious in that it is inconsistent with facts. ARCAF USA lost a similar lawsuit in Montana. John Deere & Company has developed a new online tool to help dealers use eBay to sell used tractor equipment. The tool, dubbed Used Express, will allow John Deere dealers to enter used equipment information to one central feeder site, which will then post offerings on eBay. Minnesota-based Hormel Foods has released a survey which indicates that 64% of Americans believe the U.S. hunger problem has worsened in the last year. 60% of those surveyed say that ethanol use is increasing the cost of corn, and thus food, and that it is at least part of the reason that more Americans are going hungry. Nearly two-thirds of those surveyed say they have had to cut back on food purchases due to higher food prices. And the House Agriculture Committee held a hearing yesterday on new technologies intended to improve safety and quality of meat. The hearing included testimony on the use of adding carbon monoxide to red meat to keep it looking red longer. Opponents of the technology say that makes it impossible to smell spoiled meat. American Meat Institute Foundation spokesperson Randy Huffman testified the industry is fed up with suggestions that consumers are being duped. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, Dave, thanks much. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the day's radio programming for agriculture. You can download it as an MP3 file or sign up to have it delivered to your computer directly as a podcast. It's at willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our absolutely free and really good weekend newsletter at willag.org. Well, you know, fall is the season when Illinois farmers shine, and that's truly the case for the state's pumpkin crop. I'll have more coming up on the number one place for pumpkin production. Illinois farmers grow more pumpkins than any other state in the Union. And they're not just for Halloween, says the man responsible for safeguarding the crop from all kinds of diseases, University of Illinois plant pathologist Muhammad Babadoust.
We do grow two kinds of pumpkins, one for Halloween, we call jack-o'-lantern pumpkins, and another is processing pumpkins or pie pumpkins. Illinois produces approximately 90% of pie pumpkins for the whole nation. And in the meantime, we are leading the state in jack-o'-lantern pumpkin production, which is about 10 to 12,000 acres per year.
On the whole, Illinois produces about three times more pumpkin than any other state in the nation, says Babadoust. He says most of those pumpkins are grown along the Illinois River near Peoria. The soil types and the climate are good for raising pumpkins there. Processing plants are located near Peoria as well, and while historically it's been a profitable venture, Babadoust says the last 5 years have been particularly good ones for the pumpkin industry in the state.
This industry has been growing in the past 5 years, and it grew approximately 40-45% in the past 5 years. And also, Illinois is a highly populated state, say about 13 million people. They like farm-type recreation and educational programs offered through many pumpkin patch farms.
So the pumpkin industry in the state of Illinois is twofold, and it seems both are growing steadily. Jack-o'-lanterns are raised and sold for Halloween and as a recreational draw for those farmers wanting to open their lands to visitors. Pie pumpkins from Illinois dominate the industry, with 90% of the processed pumpkins originated in the Prairie State, known far and wide for another fall harvest, corn. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, about the cash grain market on Wednesdays. She's with us now. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Good afternoon, Todd.
You all done down there?
No.
No.
No, we're not. We dumped 156 trucks yesterday. We've had a good run today, and no, I'd say there's probably maybe 10% of it still out there. A good bit of beans. There's a lot of double crop and even some first crop beans, and you know the last little 10 to 15% sometimes just seems to drag on forever. But no, they're still struggling to get it in, so we've been pretty busy here at the elevator.
Are those just the laggards that are doing that, or are they guys that are worried about losing crop and shattering beans?
Well, you know,
there's
always some laggards out there. You know,
yeah.
You're going to have those. But you know, the rain just kind of, and they're struggling to get it up off the ground. We've got a lot of lodged corn, and so it's just, they're still struggling to get this last little bit done.
How are things to the southeast of you?
I mean, as far as basis levels
yes.
are concerned? Oh, basis levels are continuing to get better. You know, demand is really good. Foreign demand is good, and the basis levels just keep climbing. We're starting to see some overs in a few places instead of unders, and the farmer's going to button this thing up. And even these cash prices, I'm buying some deferred stuff, but they're just not beating the door down. And one of these days, I think there'll be a reckoning day because this is all based on inflation. We're seeing these prices today.
And your southeastern cash basis is based on the poultry market, is that correct?
Yes, it is. We ship very little export. Most of it goes to feed the chickens in the southeast, and that's basically what it's based on. And they didn't keep up with the processors for a while, but just all of a sudden now it's starting to get a little bit better, and we've kind of been improving our basis a little bit every day.
You keep track of what's happening in that market and how many I guess sets they have and whether they're going to contract because of the high price of corn, or are they just putting their heads down and making a profit too?
Well, a little bit of both, I think. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, every elevator enjoys some decent margins when you've got the prices this high, because most farmers watch the cash prices, so I'm sure they're doing the same thing. But since they know the farmers got it buttoned up and demand is good, they're going out there and getting it regardless. So even some of the deferred bids are getting better as we go along as well.
I mean, but you're still thinking that at some day we'll have a day of reckoning for it.
Oh, yeah, because in January, you know, the farmers love to haul in January, and I think the basis levels will probably trail off at least at that time. But until then, I think they'll just continue to get a little better.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash price on corn today is $3.50, cash beans $9.70, and new crop wheat is $5.88.
Anything else to talk about this afternoon before I let you go?
Keep this warm weather around for a while, would you, Todd?
We'll see what we can do.
All right, and happy Halloween.
Hey, you too. That's Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Just a couple of reminders for the afternoon. The first one, of course, is to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the daily ag programming. You can download it directly from the website as an MP3 file if you'd like, or sign up to have it delivered to your computer as a podcast. It's at willag.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for that really good newsletter. Comes out on the weekends, and it is absolutely free. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. One other bit of news that we should remind you of this afternoon. President Bush has nominated Edward Schaefer, a former two-term Republican governor from North Dakota, to lead the Ag Department. And he would take the place of Mike Johanns, who stepped down to run for the Senate in Nebraska. Stay with us this afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A federal appeals court says former Illinois Governor George Ryan should not remain free on bond while his attorneys try to appeal their case to the nation's highest court. The decision today puts Ryan one step closer to surrendering to prison authorities to start serving a 6.5-year sentence for fraud and corruption, unless the U.S. Supreme Court lets him remain free on bond. Last week, a federal judge set a November 7th deadline for Ryan to start serving his sentence. A state audit concludes that no one keeps track of all the different programs offered by Illinois government. Auditor General William Holland today said he tried to research whether some programs could be consolidated, but he found there was no master list of all programs. His office then surveyed state agencies and found more than 1,700 programs. But Holland says there are probably even more out there because some agencies didn't give him a detailed list. Holland took a closer look at 50 programs he thought could be consolidated. In almost every case, the officials offering similar services said their program was special and couldn't be combined with another. The lawyer for a man arrested in Peoria says the Bush administration exceeded its authority in holding a legal U.S. resident in military custody as a suspected enemy combatant. The attorney for Ali Al-Mari made that argument today before a full Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The government contends that Al-Mari had links to terrorists and was a security threat. Al-Mari has been in a Navy brig in South Carolina since early 2003. Al-Mari has been in a Navy brig in South Carolina since 2003. He was arrested in late 2001 at his home in Peoria, where he had moved with his family so he could study for a master's degree at Bradley University. A three-judge appeals court panel had ruled that Al-Mari should be given the right to challenge his accusers in court. The government appealed that, and a ruling is expected in several weeks. A report from the Children and Family Justice Center at Northwestern University says more than 70% of all juvenile cases in Illinois are resolved by plea bargains. The report calls for children's lawyers to provide more zealous advocacy at all court proceedings. While some are cheering a federal appeals court decision over sectarian prayers in the Indiana House, the American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana says it may continue the challenge. House Minority Leader Brian Bosma says he's elated by the federal appeals court ruling that dismissed the lawsuit. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. It's a Wednesday afternoon time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, when the boys and the girls go out to go boo tonight, how will it be here in East Central Illinois?
Well, it won't be too terribly bad. It's going to be we've got a little bit of a front that's coming through across the region. Temperatures are going to be kind of cooling down a bit. We've got a little bit of wind blowing out there, but I think it's going to be a pretty decent evening relative to what a lot of October 31st tend to be around this part of the world. So I think it'll be fairly decent out there, and it should be a good night, I think, for most everybody.
Yeah, the wind is blowing out, and most of them are looking to hit a homer with a big bag of candy, I think, this evening. Should be really hot around my house till about midnight as they settle down after the chocolate. Hey, tell me what we're going to look like for the rest of the week here in the Midwest, then.
Well, it does look like we will kind of be in a little bit of a calm area here for a bit. We've got ourselves between our unseasonably warm weather that we had in recent weeks and cold weather that's in front of us. So for the next several days, we'll kind of be close to normal, I suppose, temperatures being in the 50s and 60s across a fair amount of the Midwest. We'll be looking at lows at nights, dropping down to 30s and 40s, and there's really not much precipitation in the forecast. A weak little frontal system that I spit and spat at a few people out there, but it looks like we won't see any real active weather come along until we get into the early part of next week, and then we get that strong cold front cutting through the Midwest. It'll again produce a lot of wind across the region and a little bit of shower activity, but I don't think any of the rain is going to persist long enough to cause any major setbacks in field operations, and certainly no threat to the remaining crop quality out there. Our temperatures will get a lot colder. Finally, it'll be a little bit more normal for this time of the year. We'll be looking at high temperatures dropping actually below average for a few days next week, readings running in the 40s and 50s across a fair amount of the Midwest, and hard freezes will occur everywhere and probably even reach down into the Delta and parts of the interior southeastern states before we're through with the week next week.
Should take care of the soybean rust, or at least start to take care of that that's been spreading across the Midwest. I know in the last couple of days here in Illinois, Bureau County, which is up north, and then right here in Champaign County, there were soybean rust finds confirmed. That doesn't overwinter as long as you get a hard freeze, and there's no doubt we'll have that here in the Midwest or this part of the world fairly soon. Tell me about how things are faring, speaking of soybean rust, how things are faring in South America.
Well, down there it's rather dry so far this year. I was looking at some vegetative health index maps just yesterday, and it's amazing how much of Brazil is still behind on their crop development at this time of the year. Our planting progress is moving along, but there's a lot of areas that have not seen the kind of emergence and establishment that they normally would have already completed by this point in the growing season. It is raining off and on down there. It is a very good environment, actually, for right now to plant the soybean and corn crop, and I think the rapid field progress will take place over the next 10 days to 2 weeks just simply because the rain quantity is not up to par. We will see enough precipitation out there, though, to germinate and emerge the crop, and I think there's very little reason for us to be concerned about the long-term outlook, because usually in a La Nina year like this, we end up making it dry in eastern Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and southern parts of Brazil, while the north ends up getting a lot more rain as we get further down the road. So I think that will set the stage for the crop to do relatively well.
We appreciate you being with us for the afternoon.
Great. Thanks, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis and the cash grain analysis, as well as the weather, on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a good afternoon and a great Halloween. I'm Todd Gleason.